This presentation comes from a meta-analysis of hepatitis C among injecting drug users, and it's an analysis by time, duration of time since injecting drug use. So that's basically an analysis of time at risk and therefore a proxy for incidence rates. Okay. Hepatitis C is the most common bloodborne infection among injecting drug users. Worldwide prevalence runs from 10 to 100%. Incidence runs from 2 to 45 per 100-person years at risk. And the major question addressed in this presentation was to look at time at risk and also calendar time to see if there have been any historical changes as explanations for variability in HCV infection rates. The HCV Synthesis Project is a meta-analysis of published and unpublished reports describing HCV infection in drug users. To be eligible for inclusion in the meta-analysis, the studies had to have a biologically plausible explanation to hepatitis C for drug use practices, including drug injection and also sniffing or smoking of drugs, because there is some evidence that crack pipes and implements for sniffing drugs can also carry hepatitis C. For data collection, we did automated searches of the published literature. We contacted authors for unpublished data. We did footnote chasing and hand searching of relevant journals. We looked at studies with data reported from 1989 to December 2006. We identified almost 2,400 reports that were screened, of which slightly over 600 were eligible for inclusion in the meta-analysis. Okay. These studies that I'll be reporting on today were ones that specified time at risk or time from initiation of drug injection to the collection of the data. This was reported differently in the different studies, so we had to use a midpoint for the time at risk categories. In terms of effect modifiers, we looked at data collected from 85 through 95 versus 96 and later. We chose this date on an a priori basis in terms of harm reduction programs, particularly syringe exchange programs, really greatly increased from the mid-1990s worldwide, so that we chose this as a potential indicator of whether harm reduction programs like syringe exchange might be having an effect on hepatitis C among drug injectors. We also separated developing and transitional countries from industrialized countries. The data analysis was fairly complicated. We used generalized mixed effects meta-regression models. We controlled for confounding of an effect modification. When we examined the plots, we saw nonlinearity, so that we added a quadratic term to the equations. We did do potential publication bias through funnel plots and formal tests of asymmetry. There did not appear to be great indications of publication bias, and we did standard tests for heterogeneity. Okay, there were 72 usable studies that reported HCV among drug users where we had data by time since onset of drug injection. There were a fairly large number of studies that would report overall hepatitis C prevalence that did not give any analysis by time since injection. The median HCV prevalence across these studies was 66%. Median time at risk was 7.2 years. 22 of these studies were prior to 1996, and 14 or 19% were from developing or transitional countries. This is the scatter plot for HCV prevalence in relation to time at risk. You'll note that there are a large number of studies showing great variability in prevalence for early years at time at risk, and then there are essentially no studies showing low prevalence, 20% or so, when you get up to 10 years at time at risk. But there's also great variability in terms of prevalence by extended time at risk. We did a meta-regression looking at factors that were associated with prevalence at time at risk. Time at risk itself was statistically significant, longer time at risk associated with higher prevalence. Recruitment before 1995 was also significantly associated with higher HCV prevalence, and studies from developing and transitional countries were also associated with a higher HCV prevalence. This graph shows our fitted HCV prevalence in relation to time at risk. This top line, the top curve, shows HCV prevalence by time at risk among studies conducting in developing and transitional countries post-1995. We only had one study from these countries prior to 1995, but you can see that there is uniformly higher prevalence in these developing and transitional countries. We attribute that to lack of HCV prevention resources. The middle curve shows HCV prevalence by time at risk in developed countries, 1989 through 1995, and then the bottom curve shows the relationship of prevalence to time at risk for developed countries post-1995, so that we do see statistically significant differences in all of these curves. However, even in the best situation of developed countries post-1995, we still see high rates, 80% or more, once you get out to 12, 14 years of drug injection. So that while we do see important differences, we do not see any indication that hepatitis C is being brought under control, even in the best situation of developed countries and more recent studies. Okay. These are the mean fitted values. You can see that in terms of years since onset of drug injection, in the best situation of the post-95 developed countries, you are still seeing substantial rates of HCV prevalence in the earlier years, and then getting up to very high rates once you get out to about 10 years. In the pre-95 developed countries, you see higher rates in the earlier years and a slightly higher rate once you get out to 10 years. In the developing and transitional countries, you see very high rates in the early years, 70% at 3 years, and extremely high, perhaps close to saturation rates, when you get out to 10 years or more. And again, there was only one study from a developing country prior to 1995, so that we're not able to do analyses of that. Okay. We had 10 studies with HCV seroconversion. This is incidence of new HCV infections rather than prevalent studies. These were primarily U.S.-based studies, so that we could not evaluate calendar time and place. The mean fitted value for cumulative HCV incidence after 1 year at risk was 27%, in that 27% of the subjects became infected with HCV in the first year of drug injection. This shows the scatter plot, and you can see moderate variation in here And you also see indication of decline of HCV incidence with greater time at risk. And again, the centered quadratic time at risk was about 2 in our estimate. Here is the graph, and you can see that incidence is high in the early years and then declines over time with a possible increase towards extremely long periods of time, but we don't really have enough studies to be confident about this rise at the end. Okay. To summarize, in this meta-analysis, we showed that there was more rapid acquisition in the studies conducted from 85 through 95, more rapid acquisition in countries where public health resources are limited, specifically developing and transitional countries. Although similar relationships have been reported in individual studies, this meta-analysis is the first that quantifies them across both time and place. Again, we're limited by the data that is published or was available. Just to note that this is consistent with the hypothesis that efforts to promote safe injection have had an effect on HCV transmission, but clearly have not brought HCV transmission among injecting drug users under control. Thank you.
Questions for Dr. I hope I'm saying it right.
Desjarlais. Yes, you are.
Okay, good. Questions for Dr. Desjarlais on hepatitis C and acquisition.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a little moderate prerogative, as I always like to do. When you're talking about studies that predate 95 or even let's say 93, before there was a blood test for hepatitis C. How was it then based on the diagnosis of people with non-A, non-B hepatitis? How were you accounting for the fact that there wasn't a definitive test pre, let's say, 93?
All of the studies were based on confirmed HCV laboratory testing, so that they were not of the blood samples. There are a modest number of studies that collected sera prior to the development of the HCV antibody test, where people went back and thawed and tested the frozen sera. So I know in our New York study, we went back to the 1980s because we had the stored sera. So that all of these studies are based on confirmed laboratory testing, and the early studies are based on frozen sera.
Great, thank you. And then another question I had, it went to your graph, the fitted HCV prevalence in relation to time at risk. And you had 3 curves, one looking in developing countries, one pre-95 in developed countries, and one post-95 in developed countries. But I think, and I can understand sort of making the differences in that, as you mentioned, in 95, there was a lot more attention to harm reduction. But I would say that the people who are 30 years out in the post-95, they probably got it. I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise that you wouldn't see a decrease because they got it before the harm reduction policies were in place.
True. So yeah, some of these people, even in the this bottom curve, once you get out to 20 to 30 years, if they had hepatitis C, were probably exposed prior to syringe exchange or any harm reduction. That is one confounding or problem in interpreting. The other problem in interpreting this part of this graph is that a lot of drug users injecting for 20 or more years would have also developed HIV and quite possibly died from HIV. So that if you looked at people studied in 2000 who'd been injecting for 25 years or so, there's a substantial chance that you've lost to the population people who were co-infected with HIV and HCV. This will obviously vary by region of the country, region of the world, but part of the reason why this may be low is not only date of infection, but also loss to HIV-HCV co-infection, so that if you do this study in another 10 years or so with antiretroviral treatment, you will probably see this go up to maybe 90% and stabilize there. But this is probably artificially lower because of HIV co-infection, as well as the issue of when they got infected.
Or with the antiviral treatment for HCV, you could see some, if they are clean and qualified for treatment, where they're no longer considered infected.
Yes, that is a hope,
yes,
that we will get more HCV-infected IDUs to participate and succeed in hepatitis C treatment. There are efforts certainly being made to do that. It is a bit of a challenge to take on the healthcare system to get successful treatment for injecting drug users.
I did see a question from the audience.
Yes. This is when they came in and they got tested. So that these are basically prevalent studies. We did have a graph of incident studies where people were followed over time, but there are many, many fewer incident studies. So that. We stopped in 2006. We've done a little updating, but the grant ran out so that we don't have the staff to do the massive data collection. From what we can tell of the studies that have been published over the last year and a half or so, none of these curves would change dramatically. But the data collection, we looked at studies published or reported from 89 through 2006.
Thank you so much.